got your Bibles, open up to James 1. I can't walk down the aisles anymore. It's part 5 on God is good. You know, you can probably just teach this throughout the whole year about God being a good God. Because that's his nature. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Great joy. My wife said her grandpa used to call her, here comes trouble every time he sees her. But that's kind of the way that believers need to be. Here comes trouble. Why? Because it's helping you develop your character. It's a great opportunity to draw closer to God, to read his word. Notice it isn't saying that God is the one who's bringing this towards you. It says when trouble comes your way. Remember, Jesus says while you're in this world, you will have tribulations, right? But he says not to fear, for I've overcome this world. So we know that it isn't coming from God. But it is sent to help you mature. And there's more than one way to mature. We can even read in Luke chapter 2, 52, it talks about how Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and all men. See, there's more than one way to grow. Trials is not the only way to grow. You can grow by learning, by studying the word, spending time, allowing it to mature you, allowing it to transform your life. But when those trials come, now you can take what you've learned and apply it to those trials. Trusting in God. People talking about you negatively is just basically childish for other believers to do, which is why they never grow up. Let them do that. You don't get caught up in it. They're not going to grow. There's no spiritual maturity when they send people out on smear campaigns in order to destroy other people's reputation, their credibility, their character. When a leader does it to a person, to this people, it's not for growth purposes, it's for oppression. Like if I were to do that to you, I would be oppressing you, not helping you to mature. That would be me trying to get you under my control, which I would never do. It's to oppress. We equip, we empower, and we send you out. And I guarantee you, that's where the true testing is going to come. Because it'll bring a good result. All the believers, all the pushbacks that you're going to get is from religious people. When you're equipped, when you're empowered, and when you're sent out, you're going to get a lot of pushback from religious and unbelievers. Not from other believers that are yielded to God. So when you're going through it, it's important to pay close attention to Jesus. In the next verse, you got verse 3 on that? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Verse 4. So let it grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You will be a finished product. You will be complete. You will be whole. You will be lacking nothing in your life. Fully matured and fully developed in your faith. Now, how do you get fully developed? When your endurance has gone the distance. Throughout the trials of your life, your character matures. It is no longer about paying evil for evil. In the book of Romans, it tells us not to repay evil for evil. I think it's Romans 12. Why? Let God will avenge you. You don't have to stoop down to other people's level. Let God deal with them. We don't repay evil for evil. We never have to go there with that. So you're maturing. That's like, even though you might want to take a 2x4 upside somebody's head, you can't do it. You never repay evil for evil. Your focus should be spent studying the word and listening to what the Lord is leading you to do. So when people are constantly trying to make you look like you aren't mature enough, trying to get others to imply that you aren't mature, ignore those words because they really haven't walked your walk. They haven't been where you've been. And sometimes people just want to put you through stuff just to put you through stuff because they don't think you're fully mature. They haven't walked your walk. They haven't been through the same battles as you. You know what God has taken you through. You know how he's matured. Some are just trying to oppress in trials because they see it as an opportunity to control you through your emotions. So they will purposely put you through certain things just to get under their control. Abusive people do this. They try to control others and hurt them because they want what they want. And you can read that in James 4. It's like almost they're entitled. Nobody's entitled to anything in your life. I'm not entitled to nothing in your life. I'm not entitled to your money. I'm not entitled to your the word, the prophetic word, the revelation that you've received. I'm not entitled to your family. I'm not entitled to nothing in your life. You're not entitled to anything in mine. What we're entitled to is what Jesus has done on the cross, burial, and resurrection. That every spiritual gift that he has given us, it says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's what you're entitled to. And every spiritual blessing is a good blessing. It's not an evil one. It's a good blessing. That's what you're entitled to. You can't steal that from someone else. You're entitled to that. You can't steal somebody else's gift. You have your own gift. That's what you're entitled to. See, we got to get to the place to where we understand there are things that are sent to test you and mature you, and then there are things that are sent to destroy you. And the wisdom of God helps you to understand which one. In verse 5 here, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God is a generous God. If you ask for wisdom, if you need wisdom, or you don't have wisdom, you can have people poke fun of you. You don't know everything. Everyone doesn't know everything. You might be very intellectual, but you don't know everything. I don't know nothing about wrestling. I know nothing about volleyball, which is why I keep my mouth shut. Watching my daughter play, I just film. I just keep my mouth shut. I don't know. We don't know it. But if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for it. And he will give it to us generously, because you have to understand the whole process of being tested is to help to mature you. But God knows he will not allow your trial to get the best of you. You are going to get the best of it. Whatever you're going through, you're going to get the best of it. He will not allow it to get the best of you. So don't tap out. Recognize evil is evil, and there are things that are sent to mature you, and there are things that are sent to destroy you. And where people have missed it is that they stayed in places and stayed in relationships where others wanted to kill them off and didn't operate in their authority as a believer. This thing is coming to kill you. You resist it. When Pharisees was trying to come against Jesus, he didn't sit there and just took it. Take it. Let me just take it. Oh, geez. This is hurting me. No, he went right back at him. He resisted it. And some people want you to sit under that stuff and then just take it. I guarantee you, listen. If you tolerate certain people in your life, and Revelations tell you not to tolerate, Jesus rebukes the church for tolerating it. If you tolerate certain things in your life, it will destroy you. If you tolerate certain addictions in your life, it will destroy you. If you tolerate certain people in your life, they will destroy you. That's not something you're supposed to tolerate. Revelations 2, he rebukes the church for tolerating Jezebel. And it says you will be cast upon a bed of sickness. You will have strange and prolonged illnesses for the rest of your life. You're tolerating it. And he tells you not to. But see, there's a reward when you don't. So don't allow people to tolerate. Get you to the place to where you have to tolerate it and feel you have to tolerate it. You come against it. You resist it. You resist it. Even if it hurts their feelings, you resist it. Why? Because it's something that you're supposed to do as the body of Christ, as the church. If I'm oppressing people, tell me something. Don't just let me do it. Because number one, I shouldn't be doing it in the first place. But if I can't respect your boundaries, and I'm just constantly going at you, what happened, I don't respect your boundaries, you better say something. Because if I'm not in my right frame of mind, I can destroy your life if I wanted to. That's when you're supposed to come and say, well, it's the pastor. No, you don't tolerate it. Any pastor, any leader, you don't tolerate it. See, that's the thing. That's the dilemma. Well, they're going to kick me out of church. Go to another one. There are other people that don't like certain ministers and stuff like that. People don't like Andrew. He's grace. He doesn't teach faith. He teaches on faith. Because how are you ever going to appropriate or apply grace into your life if you don't do it without faith? Faith accesses the grace of God. He teaches on faith. But they won't hesitate to go to his conferences and need it when they need healing. They'll be sitting in the back row. They'll talk about them in their circles. Then they'll sit in the back row wanting to receive healing. See? You just don't tolerate it. You go after it. The Bible says, ask for wisdom on how to handle things and what you're going through, because there are some things you are submitted to and calling it a trial when it was designed to literally kill you off. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes, God created the blacksmith and the blacksmith created the weapon, but that weapon formed against you, it will not prosper. It will not. So how do you know a person is still spiritually underdeveloped? Tell them no. Now, I'm not saying don't work together. When it comes to pushing an agenda for them against someone else, tell them no. It's time to let go. Time to move on. They're not entitled to what other people have. The next thing you do is pray for protection. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Be confident that your Heavenly Father hears you and knows that he will give you what you ask for. Be confident. Believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Be confident. So when you pray, I know, Lord, when I ask for wisdom, I'm going to get it. And it's just not the wisdom that you need, that you receive. It's how to use that that's going to be beneficial for me and for other people around me. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. God doesn't want you to be without his wisdom for the circumstances you may be going through. It's his wisdom that helps to put you over. His wisdom that will get you to that next level. It's his wisdom that will help comfort you in those times. Your faith in God alone. Because without faith is what? Impossible to please him. It's his wisdom. We got to understand that unbelief, that is a faith killer. See, you can doubt in your mind, but if you doubt in your heart, that's a faith killer. Unbelief is sin. Heard someone say unbelief isn't sin. Unbelief is sin. Because whatever isn't faith is a sin. It is sin. There's times I'll talk about it later on. So just seeking after him is a reward within itself. God will always reward those who seek him. But when you ask for wisdom, he gives it generously. So never lacking in no good thing, because he is a good God. In verse 7, it says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. If you have been divided before, just repent. Repent and get back into that place of where you trust God. It's not that hard. Even that man said, help my unbelief. Just that quick. Jesus did. It's not something you have to linger over for four seasons and stuff and be like, okay, All right, Lord, help me. No, it, just that quick. If you were in unbelief, get right back in believing again. Right back to his word. But why? Because he's a generous God. He's for you every step of the way. Verse 9 says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. For God has honored the poor. Let the weak say, I am strong, and let the poor say, I am. God specifically chooses people that the world rejected. They were poor. They had little to no education. They were people that no one looked up to, but he exalted them, and they had done great and mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. In verse 10, it says, those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The rich understands that God is the one who's prospered them. It's where people miss it. It's because of my hands. Nebuchadnezzar, it's because of my hands that I built this kingdom. Nah, you go out there in the field. Eat some grass for a few years. Everything that I have is because of God's grace. You never want to get to the place where you think you're better than everyone else just because you have more stuff. I can go out and buy more stuff. I can get on Temu and buy stuff, cheap stuff, and fill my house up with stuff. So what? Doesn't make you better than someone else. Doesn't make you better than those who don't have much. But see, God will exalt those who humble themselves. We don't ever want to get to the place where God humbles us. Because that means that we were operating in pride. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He opposes. So no matter how much money you have, if Jesus should tarry, then you're both going to end up in the same place, the rich and the poor, if you're a believer. You're going to end up in the same place. You can't take it with you. So you better enjoy it. You better enjoy what you have. Nothing wrong with being rich. Just as long as that money don't have you, enjoy it. Bless somebody with it. Pay for somebody's schooling. Pay for somebody's car, what have you. Bless them. Because it was the same grace and the same blood that purchased their freedom. So it's always good to reflect on the goodness of God and what he has done in your life. So those who humble themselves like a child is the greatest in the kingdom. We got to get to the place where we humble ourselves like a child. I said, reflect. I do this at least twice a week. I reflect back. Am I humble? And if I'm not, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that, if I've been prideful. At least twice a week. Verse 11, it says, the hot sun rises and the grass withers, the little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements, all those trophies that you may have, all those plaques on their wall. All that stuff is going to fade away. It doesn't mean anything in the kingdom. So you can get your education and education and education. And so that's great on here, but in eternity, it doesn't matter. If that's what you're called to do, do it for here. But it's better to store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Use that stuff for good rather than evil. Because it's the people that you choose to help while you have all those, that education and that field or what have you, they're going to be like, yeah, just because of them. Not just because of you, Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. I said, but you sent that person into my life to speak life into me. And they can be the most educated person or the most uneducated person, but they still both had a heart for God. They had a heart to help. They had a heart for Jesus. Verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The trials that you may go through will help you, will help mature you spiritually on this side of life. And the crown of life that is given to those is to endure their trials faithfully. So even when you may not want a reward, Lord, I'm just in it for the relationship. When you're going through that stuff, there is a reward on the other side of that. It's that crown of life. If you remain faithful to God during these trials, you will receive the crown of life. The Greek word for that crown is called Stephanos. S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S. It means a badge of honor or a badge of royalty. This is what God chooses to give you when you endure that testing, that trial. So there's something good out of it. Not just the fact that you're able to grow more maturely in your relationship with Him, but your character is being more developed, and there's a crown at the end of that. Verse 13, it says, "And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else." God hates evil. We got to get to the place to where we say, "Lord, I want to love what you love, and I want to hate what you hate." He hates evil, but He loves His children. He will not use it against you to tempt you and to get you to do what He wants. People will, but God won't, because He's a good God. Everybody will blame God for everything that goes on. Why? You realize that that will just shoot down your confidence in Him? That will just jack your faith up even more? And when people really think they're operating in faith, it's not really faith at all. If you believe that God was the one who did everything to, it's like, how can you draw near? I don't know if He's going to strike me dead or not. I don't know if He's going to hurt me. No, He isn't. Because He's a good Father. Let no one say, "God is tempting me to do wrong." Because He never tempts anyone else. Temptation, the next verse, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drags us away. When you're tempted to go out and hang with the fellas and drink, and you know you had a problem, that wasn't God doing that. That was your own temptation, and that was your friends doing it. My wife had gone to Topeka a few weeks back, earlier this month, and she came back. She stopped in a little town right outside Topeka. What was that called? Alma, and they have these pies. I'm talking about these good pies, man. And that was the Sunday that I just talked about. That pie isn't calling. That pie is calling you at 11 o'clock at night. It's not Jesus. And she had those pies on the counter, and I kid you not, it was around 11, and I was like, huh? I was walking to the bathroom. I said, huh? Kid you not. And I started feeling the wrapper, and then I stopped, and then I went into the room and looked to see if she was asleep. I said, "No, I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it." I didn't take it. But see, that wasn't God tempting me with that, or could have been my wife. No, but see, the thing about it is that He won't do our own temptation. Our temptation comes from our own desires. Our own desires. It drags us away. And it's going to lead us to a dark place. So we can't say, "Well, God is doing this." It's a loving God will take you up out of there. A loving God will keep you from doing those things. "Hey, come roll with me. Shut down everything else. Come spend some time with me." Why? Because we're going to help develop your character so that those things, when you walk by that pie, you can talk right back and say, "I don't need you." When you sit in a restaurant and you don't get offended when everybody else is drinking around you. When you get around a group of people and they're talking about other what have you, I said, you're not enticed to go along with it. You're able to do the right things. Because you know why? Because you developed your character. Doesn't mean you're always going to be 100% perfect. Okay? But just continue to mature in that. Our spirit man is like God, but our body is still in this old nature. If you can bridle your tongue, this is what stuff that we've been learning on Wednesday nights. If you can bridle your tongue, you can control your whole body. You can keep your body in check. And see, what's on your tongue? Taste buds as well, see? It's not just what you say. That's not God having you say those things that are contrary to his word. It's not God bringing those evil things across your path. That is your own desires. And sometimes people will find out about your old self and will try to set you up to get you to fall back into those old desires. At times, it's the enemy planting stuff in your mind, but you can't truly act until you respond. But the enemy can't truly act in your life until you respond to those thoughts. Satan can't make you do nothing. Nothing. He can plant a thought in your mind, and if you choose to act on it, then you're giving him the door. So that lies in you. God isn't doing it. Satan will plant the thought, but it's you who will act on it. That's why you got to cancel that stuff out. Verse 15, it says, these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Spiritual death is the end result in that. God wants you being led by his spirit and operating in the kingdom of God, but the brethren will still be saved. He's talking to the brethren. It just means that God will not be ruling over them. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we've learned about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They'll still be saved, but the kingdom of God won't be operating in your life, and it'll be clearly evident. No power, no anointing, no authority, no nothing. Verse 16, it says, don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. God is doing his evil in my life to teach me a lesson. Have you learned it yet, if that's the case? God is doing this to teach me a lesson. God is doing this to say, God is doing this. No, he's not. He is not. God is the one who put the sickness on me. God is the one who put this disease on me. No, it was not. God was the one who had me, you know, I was born this way. With no arms. You were born that way so that the works of God might be revealed in you. And as long as it's daytime, Jesus had to work the works. So the next thing he did was healed. That's the works of God. That healing. That restoration. The growing out of the limbs. The restoration of the withered hand. The spitting on the eyes so that the person was able to see again. That's the works of God. Not somebody being maimed throughout life. That's not God. That's not our good God. If you were born that way with any kind of ailment, any kind of physical what have you, it wasn't from God. And understand, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Things happen. We don't know the whole story. What's that expression? Satan is into the details. Is that a song or something? I've never heard it. Is that a song? But here's the thing. You don't have to know every detail. Because faith just jumps right over that. All you need to know is that Jesus is a healer. He's a deliverer. Never mind how it got there. From birth or from 15 years later, but the end result is he wants you free from that. Never mind when you started drinking. Never mind when you started watching the wrong stuff. Never mind that. What he knows is that he wants to free you from it because he's a good God. God is not going to counter what Jesus has provided for you. He has a gift for you and it's good. There's no side effects, no evil, nothing twisted. It's good. And not only that, it's perfect. It's the very thing you needed for that time in your life. In verse 17, it says this, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Now, some people can take those gifts and use it for evil. Absolutely. But it was good when it was given to them. It was good. They can take it and use it for evil, but it was good when it came from God. When God created Lucifer, he was good. And he was perfect. Until iniquity was found in his heart. He wasn't the one that made Lucifer that way. Somewhere down the line, they chose to serve themselves rather than their creator. And in verse 18, he says, they chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. To those who believe in his name, to them he gave the rights to become the sons of God. What a gift. And the seed that you were born from was the incorruptible seed. Satan can't destroy that. You realize that you are God's heavenly prized possession. You are his prized possession. Of all the things he created in the world, you are his prized possession. You really think he's going to let something happen to you? So you can quit beating yourself up. Why did this happen to me? Was I in sin? This stuff like that. It doesn't matter. The end result is God wants you free from it. So stop speaking negative things over your own life. I had to catch myself one time. My wife is up, but she put up our Christmas lights already. She got on the roof and put up our Christmas lights. I was wanting to wait, you know, at a normal time. No, so. But I love her heart. She gets excited. But this year I was actually egging her on. I was like, about time. I'm gonna wait. But I was like, yeah, I don't think my body can do that anymore. Bend down and do all that stuff. I was like, and I had to catch myself. I said, wait a minute, that's not how I want to be. I can't keep speaking that over my life. There was a time when a teammate on my team was like, came in after practice one day. I had knee ice packs on both knees, just chilling in my room. He comes, man, you ain't gonna be walking when you're 30. I just laugh and be like, yeah. 29 comes, I'm struggling to get upstairs. I say, well, I need to cancel that out. You can't speak evil over your body. Is that the way you want to be? No. I thank you that I'm healthy and limber. I can touch my toes without holding my breath. I was in a hospital one time when I was going through all that. And they had me put my socks on and stuff like that. And they go, you can't stand up and put your socks on? I said, who do you think I am? No. I said, I did this when I was in shape. I'm not very flexible. So I got a big gut and short arms. That's not a good combination. There I am, speaking ill over my body. Lord, forgive me for that. Psalms 34:8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. See, you can truly understand all of God's goodness. You can't truly understand all of God's goodness if you don't experience it. I can't live it through somebody else's experience. I have to experience for myself. You have to experience for yourself. We can read all the books. That was great. I read about Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, read about those generals. But I didn't experience it. They did. I have to get my own. You have to get your own. Taste and see. And some of you've had your own. And if you've never experienced God's goodness, my goodness, you are missing out. But I think it'll help you get to the place to understand that the God's goodness is not evil. It's not the evil things that comes out in the world. It's the good things. Everything he created was good. Satan just came and perverted it. Because he can't create. He just takes what God does and messes it all up. You see a marriage, a covenant marriage with man and woman, takes it and perverts it. Man and man, woman and woman. Man and rock. How you gonna marry a rock? perverted. They're being misled. He's a good God. And he wants good things for you. And he has given you good things. Faith reaches out and takes those things. His grace. Faith in him. So whenever you're going through something, first thing you do is run to him. You run to his word. You get wisdom. Lord, is this sent to mature me, to help me grow, or is this sent to destroy me? You got to know the difference. And if it's sent to destroy you, take your authority and use it. And who cares what they say afterwards? Sore losers are sore losers. Who cares what they say? The enemy is a sore loser. He's always going to complain about you. You take your authority and you use it. But if it's sent to mature you, draw closer to God. Allow it to, people ruin your reputation, you develop your character. I develop my character. That's how you grow. Reading the word and praying with the Lord. So whatever is sent to destroy you, cancel it out right now in the name of Jesus. Because that's your given right. That is what you're entitled to. To walk in victory every single day. Every time you wake up, victory. I'm in victory. I'm not putting the focus on my problem. I'm in victory. Satan has to listen to what I say when I say it. I'm in victory. My problems have to listen to what I say when I say it. Because you're walking in victory. Your body has to listen to what you say and how you say it, when you say it, because you're walking in victory. So get bold about it. Because if the enemy can get you to the place to where you've done something wrong and you're in sin, it'll make you a coward. To where now you can't even go boldly to the throne of grace. You'll go having a problem without ever speaking it out and speaking against it or coming against it. You'll just endure it. And it's something that God wants. Man, that Goliath is coming. Everybody else was just, we're scared. David was like, what? What did you get? What's the prize? The first prize fight with David and Goliath. Man, he doesn't have a right to be doing that. He was sent to destroy Israel. There are certain things that are sent to destroy you. You don't have to put up with it. Take your authority. That's your God-given right. Take your authority. Why? Because he's a good God. He didn't leave you as orphans. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Everything is in your favor. You can't lose. You can't lose. So when believers coming against believers, I think the body of Christ loses in that. Because that's not what God meant. That's not his heart. We're the bride of Christ. I don't have any qualms with Andrew Womack. A lot of people do. I don't. I listen to his stuff. I've learned. He's a good teacher. Don't have a problem with it. Other faith people may. I don't. And if they don't like that, I like them, I don't give a rip. You just jealous. Get out of that competition mode. Because if I catch you sneaking at that conference, good night. Gonna talk mess about somebody and then go listen to them just so you can get healed and delivered. Well, bless it. God is good, ain't he? Amen. Next week. Is that when we're doing it, Ms. Vicky? Yes, next week. pastors' appreciations. Isaiah and Carly, youth pastors of this church, R3, they've been doing it since 2022. Good young people. They have good hearts to help. Y'all need to talk about them more in public. What are your kids doing? Send them. They ain't doing nothing on Wednesday. Send them. Trenton and Madison, good hearts, know them. Know Madison and Isaiah since, of course, babies and stuff, but just good hearts to serve, to lead. Brandon and Shayna, great hearts. They've been serving since Jesus was gone. Faithful and loyal. Good hearts. What are we going to be using for them? Baskets? No. Cancel that out. Bring something bigger. If you're going to honor somebody, honor them. Seriously. If you're going to honor someone, honor. Go above and beyond, because that's what God does for us. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we can ask or think according to his riches. Bring buckets. If you got to get those Home Depot buckets, bring it. That's what you were thinking about already? Bring some buckets. Okay? I said next time we get some dozers. Why? Because we want to bless. We want to honor. And when you honor, you go above and beyond. And it's not based upon what somebody else is giving you, trying to outdo this person here. It's based upon what God has said in your heart. So do it. Take time and pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to give? Anything. If you're going to be a vessel, be a vessel. What do you want me to give? And bless them. Above measure. Because there are laws of reciprocity. When you give, it shall be what? Given to you. A good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Bless them how you want to be blessed. And guess what? The harvest is always greater than the seed. Told you God is good. Let's stand. Let's stand. Come on. No, I'm serious. The faith is there. But didn't Jesus say, rise up and take your mat? When you get it, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for everyone here, Lord. We thank you for their hearts, their minds, their strength, Lord. We thank you that you are touching them right now. Lord, if there is anyone here that's never given their life to you, and you want to do that for the first time, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you want to do that, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. I take it everyone's born again. They have a relationship with Jesus. If there's anyone here who is dealing with anything that they need to be free from, just raise your hand real quick. God bless you. God bless you. Father God, you've seen those hands. Is there anyone else? I don't know why there's a third person. Thank you. Father God, we just speak healing into their lives right now in the name of Jesus. You know what they're going through. You know what they're going through. And we thank you for your healing power, your deliverance. We thank you for financial freedom. We thank you, Lord, that you are touching their lives right now in every area, because you don't want us lacking no good thing. In the name of Jesus, relationships, marriages being restored. Lord, we thank you. They're never lonely when they have you. And we thank you for fulfilling everything that you have for them.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.